Good morning, Aggies. This is Jackson Curtis with Behind the Bull Podcast, giving you behind-the-scenes content on Utah State sports, featuring current and former USU athletes. First, I want to apologize for not having an episode for a bit now. This summer has been a little bit crazy, but I'm really excited for today's guest. Most of the time, I've had the opportunity to bring on a USU basketball, football, or USU football player. But today we have someone a little bit different. He was on the cheer team at Utah State, or the USU Spirit Squad, about 10 years ago. Has now made a huge impact on the sports medicine world today. And he was formerly known as Big Blue, or USU's mascot as we know it. And recently he was featured on NBC's Titan Games. And so Dwayne The Rock Johnson is kind of the host of that show. So super cool opportunity. His name is Dr. Caleb Redden. And it was easily one of my most favorite interviews I've done here in a while. So listen up here, it's going to be good, here on Behind the Bull. Again, Caleb, I appreciate you giving me the time to be on Behind the Bull podcast, so welcome, man.
Yeah, thank you. It's an honor, it's a privilege. I've done lots of these podcasts in the past, 3 to 6 months, and it's exciting to be able to kind of communicate back with my alma mater, with the folks at Utah State, and Behind the Bull. So it's great. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I kind of like to interview interesting athletes, kind of hear their stories and backgrounds. You've had a lot of basketball and football and all over, but it's good to kind of get the former Big Blue and someone that's been on national television. So I'm pretty excited, man.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Awesome. Well, let's kind of jump into it then. How did you kind of get into cheer at Utah State and into the athletics program there, if you want to kind of give a background for those that may not know?
So it was sort of a twisty road for me. I was a multi-sport athlete in high school. I went to a really small school in Wyoming, played hockey, football, and track, did some boxing, played some baseball, and did snowboarding, kind of alternative sports like snowboarding and things like that, mountain biking, downhill racing. And but my love was always football. Wanted to play football in college. I went my freshman year and didn't realize how the system worked, and so I missed the deadlines, and I wasn't able to try out for the team. And then I actually dropped out of school after my freshman year, and I took 3 years off and worked in the oil field. And then I went back to college. I transferred to Utah State, and at that point had understood and learned how the system worked. Had gained some size and some strength and some speed. Got in touch with the coaches and had an opportunity to come as a preferred walk-on for spring ball, and then had broke my back in November. I was supposed to go and start seeing those guys January, February, so I had to have surgery in May, and obviously they were like, we can't really play football at this level after having back surgery.
Right.
And so I said, all right, I want to be an athlete still, and I need to stay in a competitive world. And at Utah State, as you probably well know, the cheerleading team there in Big Blue, like the Spirit Squad, is rather elite. When you look around the country at cheerleading teams, the Utah State cheer team is a pretty elite group of people. And I walked into tryouts by accident, was able to talk to the coach, and it was crazy. It was kind of a crazy story. I talked to the coach and said, hey, I'm a pretty strong guy. I don't look like it right now. I just had back surgery. I've lost about 60 pounds, but I'll get it back. And she was like, well, if you feel safe and you think you can do this, we'll give you a shot at trying out. It's a pretty tough road to hoe. And I said, well, give me a shot. And I made the team, mostly, I think, because of my crazy antics and personality.
Right.
But I did pretty well in tryouts, made the team, and then as I healed up and got stronger and got better, was able to compete really, and did a, had a great career in athletics, and still was able to stay close to, the sports that I loved, like football and, obviously basketball at the Spectrum. It's pretty impressive, pretty crazy. We were involved with gymnastics and soccer and softball, and that's how, that's what I did my first couple of years. And then my senior year, I was Big Blue, and that was, basically because I was starting to have some problems with my back and my shoulder. And I thought, maybe this isn't the best thing for me. And I would love to try out as Big Blue. And so I kind of moved into that role. But that was one of the most amazing experiences of my life, like one of the most cherished experiences that I've ever had, and truthfully probably one of the more influential experiences that I had that projected me to med school, some of those opportunities. So really, really grateful for the way my life turned out. It's one of those things where you look back and you never, you know, it's not like I'm glad that I ended up having back surgery and, you know, ended up on that road. I still would rather not have had that happen.
Right.
But making lemons, you know, turning lemons into lemonade, it ended up helping me into the position where I'm at now. So I definitely don't regret that path, that's for sure.
No, that's awesome. And how did you break your back? You said you had, you know, surgery.
Yeah, I've got a transitional anatomy. So it's really common. About 20% of people have either an extra vertebrae in their lumbar spine or they're fused at their lumbar spine. So it's called a transitional anatomy, either sacralization or lumbarization. And I'm one of those lucky 20%. And I was getting prepared for spring tryouts and lifting and getting stronger and getting faster, I literally was bending over to pick up a deadlift. It wasn't anything heavy. I was just kind of warming up, but wasn't really paying attention, focused on what I was doing. And I was thinking about my sets and my reps and working up to being heavy. And as I bent over to pick it up, I got a pars fracture. So I cracked the pars interarticularis and then herniated a disc.
Oof.
Basically desiccated the disc. So the disc split, and a big chunk of that disc, so the anatomy of it is the annular fibrosis and the nucleus pulposus. That nucleus pulposus is the inside. It pushed through and it crunched a nerve, and I lost feeling to my right leg. And after about 3 months, I couldn't lift my foot at a drop foot. And I tried as much conservative therapy as I could, but I couldn't get the innervation back to my foot. So the fracture wasn't a big deal. That those healed just fine. You know, there's not any surgery required for that. I didn't have to get pins in that fracture. The fracture would have been no big deal, but the disc desiccation was the problem. So they had to go in and do a micro discectomy and then a laminectomy. So they took a chunk of the bone out on one side to allow some more space for that disc. And it was because I have a transitional anatomy that I was predisposed to that injury. If I wouldn't have had that anatomy, I probably would never have had that injury.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like something not very fun. Right after my mission, I broke both of my wrists. I was mountain biking. I had like a double lateral flat fracture. And that was a pretty big step for me. But I can't imagine a back injury as well. Those are tough.
Yeah, that sucks. It's never fun breaking your wrists either, especially if you're breaking both at the same time. That's pretty miserable. A lot of things in life that you need both hands or at least one hand for, you know?
No, it was tough, and I played tennis as well and basketball, so it was a rough time for me, but I got over it, so.
I'll tell you what, injury with athletes, and this is why I love sports medicine, but injury with athletes is way more inconvenient than it is, you know, it's the inconvenience, it's not the pain, right? So, like, athletes deal with pain on a daily basis. They're used to it. They can deal with that. The worst part is the inconvenience of not being able to perform and do your sport and the loss of your identity. And I think that's a big part of the sports medicine deals with. Sure, we deal with the orthopedic problems. We deal with the biomechanical problems. We fix the injuries. That's all well and good. But I think a good sports medicine doctor understands the anatomy of the athlete's mind and the physiology and the psychology of an injury and what that does to an athlete. I think that those are the great docs that work in the field that I'm in. Those guys and those gals understand that and are privy to that information and work with athletes in that frame of mind when they're injured. Because truthfully, the injury will heal. You know, the ACL, a year later from surgery, it's going to be healed. It's going to be fine. But the lasting damage from losing a season is a lot more difficult to recover from.
No, I totally agree. I talked to a lot of athletes that have had injuries. It can be kind of a loss of an identity, like you said. Let's kind of go back to your experience, though, with Big Blue. I know you mentioned it was probably one of the best, you know, experiences overall, being involved with cheer and representing Utah State. Was there, like, a certain moment or a game where you felt like, okay, this is awesome, or was it kind of more of an overall aspect? Or do you remember, like, one particular moment that kind of made it for you?
You know, there's two things I'd like to say about that. Number one, every time I put on that suit, it was an absolute riot. I mean, I got to have so much damn fun. It was ridiculous. I mean, rappelling from the Jumbotron, you know, ripping through the football stadium on a mini bike, a mini pit bike, you know, riding snowboards down the stairs, you know, performing at the Jazz game. Like, we went to Utah Jazz and performed at a Utah Jazz game. Like, that was just an amazing opportunity. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun. But I think the night that changed my attitude and made me realize that this was something bigger than me, that Big Blue represented something so much bigger and so much greater than just me as a person, or just, you know, a sport or an athletic event or something like that, was when I got to do a Make-A-Wish with a young guy who had terminal cancer. And this is a pretty emotional experience for me. And that's something that I haven't really you don't talk about this kind of stuff a lot because no one knows who Big Blue is, right? So, like, Big Blue is an anonymous figure. And so I don't talk about these experiences with people. In fact, I don't know if I've ever shared this experience with anyone. But I got to be this young kid's dying wish was to meet Big Blue. And not me, not Caleb Redden, but Big Blue. And I got to go spend Christmas Eve with him and my coach at their house and have dinner with him. And just spend the night with this kid and take pictures. And he passed away later that year. But that was really the pivotal moment in my Big Blue career, and really a pivotal moment in my life, that I got to see how much I gained and how blessed I was to anonymously be able to help someone for the right reasons. There was no kickback for me. You know, there's no mantle or trophy on my mantle from Big Blue that just picks that experience. But that experience defined my role as Big Blue.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Those are the moments you really wish for. Those are the moments you really want to have in your life, especially when you get to helping people, and that's super cool. I like that, those kind of stories, because when you give back, you really find a new side of you. You know, you find something that you never really felt before. I mean, it's not just about giving back or helping people; it's about changing lives. So, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, that was really cool. I mean, that's not something I've been able to really talk about, I think, in a long, long time. So it's a good memory. So thank you. Yeah,
no problem. And so currently you're in Idaho, kind of a sports medicine physician. You're married, you have three kids. What do you like about being a dad?
Oh man, I love being a dad. I think the biggest thing is I get to play. Get to play all the time. You know, the kids are always wanting to do fun things, and I get to be young at heart, you know, floating rivers and going to their sporting events and practicing with them, and, you know, mountain biking and skiing, snowboarding, and, you know, going camping and fishing, like all the things that I really love doing, I get to do with my little crew, my little buddies, my little ride or die crew. And even simple things like playing cornhole in the backyard with my besties is awesome. I love to play. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's just having someone that you love that much be able to be around you. And, you know, I love those kids, man. I love being a dad. It's the best experience. Anybody who has kids will, I think, agree. I mean, as soon as you have kids, it changes your outlook and your perspective on life, and all of your stories, all of your accounts, all of your experiences begin to revolve around your kids and your family. I mean, anybody who's got kids will tell you, like, you know, you stop talking about your softball game that you won, you start talking about your kids' softball game that they win, you know, and that's a cool transition.
No, most definitely. It sounds like you're a great dad and father figure in their life. And so,
I mean, I tried. I think I fall short of the mark, I'm sure. I'm too hot-headed and I'm not patient enough, that's for sure. But I'm trying. I think the big part about being a dad is not striving for perfection, but striving to be available. I mean, I think anybody can have a kid. It doesn't make him a father, right? So it's important to be present and be available and to do your best to try to provide a good life for your kids, but you don't have to be perfect.
That's true. And so recently you competed on NBC's Titan Games with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and other celebrities. Real quick here before we wrap up, how did you kind of land that role, and how was that experience for you?
It was a really awesome experience. How did I land it? It was kind of by accident. My, I tried to provide content that's evidence-based and uplifting and positive on social media. I just have an account with Instagram, and it's only been open to the public for the last like 18 months. But in that 18 months, I've had a huge influx of participants that follow my content. And one of the headhunters from Dwayne Johnson's team reached out to me last year and said, hey, this is a game show that Dwayne Johnson's puts together and handpicks people for. He and his team have looked at your Instagram account and have seen some of the work you've done with other companies. I mean, I've done things with bodybuilding.com and Cage Muscle and the American Ringside Physician Association and Boise State. You know, I've done some big things with those organizations, and they said, I've looked at these other things that you've done, and you're pretty consistent with this role that they're looking for, a physician who lifts weights. Would you be interested in doing this? And I said, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Let me talk to my family about it. And I asked my kids, and it was a unanimous and resounding yes that they wanted me to do it. I mean, they're big fans of the American Ninja Warrior game show, and they're like, yeah, you're probably not big enough to, or you're too big for that show. You're probably not going to do any good on that show, but this Titan game seems like it's a one that you'd fit right into. So I said, yeah, I'll give it a try. And then I had to go do a combine, and like an all-day combine, which is basically a fitness and agility and strength test with a bunch of other people that they invited. I had to go through and fill out applications and do a video and interviews. And I mean, it was a long process, very arduous process. But I had to do the same application that everyone else did, but they just reached out to me. So I think the takeaway is always put your best foot forward and never underestimate the value of an opportunity. And it's not that I was trying to be famous or trying to be on TV or trying to do anything. I was just being authentic and genuine and providing a positive, influential outlook for people in the medical and fitness world and athletic world, and as a family man. And it turned out to be a great experience. And Dwayne Johnson's a phenomenal guy. He's hilarious. Joe Thomas is great. You know, the celebrities that we got to meet at the Titan Games are cool. The other competitors are amazing, motivational, average, everyday people who have above average ambition and are inspiring and have great stories. And I think that it's a show that definitely brings positivity to the world and accentuates the American dream, right? That you can achieve your goals and you can be great. It doesn't matter where you come from or what circumstances you came from. Like, your choices can dictate your future, and belief can change your destiny. And I think that that's truthfully what the Titan Games embodies in the people who compete. And it was a great experience. My kids loved it. I mean, that's kind of why I did it. I wanted them to have that opportunity, and they got to be involved with it and meet Dwayne Johnson. And that, I thought it was really cool to shake his hand and chop it up with him. We got to spend a couple of weeks out there doing that, and that was really awesome. But to see my kids light up when they got to meet him and talk to him was hands down the best part of that experience for me.
That's awesome. What kind of thing surprised you about Dwayne Johnson that maybe you didn't think of?
Honestly, nothing really. I think the thing that stood out to me was that how authentic he was and how true to character he is based on his persona from the world we know him from, right? So social media and interviews and things like that. Like, he truly is like this hardworking, very cocky but very humble at the same time, great raunchy sense of humor. He really is the guy that he portrays himself as. He's a dad, and he's a human being who bleeds just like the rest of us. And then I had a good long conversation about his father just passed away, and we just kind of talked about that and what that meant to him. And he bleeds like the rest of us, and a lot of people treat him differently because of who he is and his stardom, but he's just a good old boy like the rest of us. And he is huge, though. He is definitely big. Like, he looks big on TV, but he really is big in real life too. But I think I was surprised at how real he was. That's probably what I was surprised most by.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's very successful. He's worked his tail off. I think he was supposed to be in the NFL, and then a lot of things kind of fell into place, but he worked his tail off in the industry, so he's definitely up there.
Yeah, he's definitely earned his position where he's at. I mean, he's a hardworking guy, and I think that it also goes to show you that just because one door closes doesn't mean another one isn't going to open, and sometimes you have to kick that sucker down, right? So sometimes the door of opportunity isn't open to you. It's, you know, something you got to beat down and break through to get to where you want to be, and you also have to be flexible and look at the big picture, right? So, like, you know, I didn't get to play college football. I didn't get to play in the NFL. Like, those were things that I had dreams and aspirations of doing, but my life turned out pretty good otherwise. It turned out pretty all right. You know, I didn't make those goals, but I made new goals, and things turned out okay. So don't let defeat get you down. Don't let defeat derail your dreams. And rock bottom is the best place to build a foundation. So if you get knocked down, get back up and keep swinging. And don't underestimate the power of opportunities. And you can never put the value on an opportunity, right? So if you get a job, you know, whatever that job may be, work your hardest and do your best and learn as much as you can. It may not be your dream job, but stick with it and develop yourself as a person so that when your dream job comes along, that you're ready for it. And that goes with anything, whether it's relationships or athletic goals or, you know, anything. Like, if you have dreams and goals, you have to just chip away at them a little bit at a time. And I think Dwayne Johnson is a great example of that. He's somebody who had a vision and had a goal, and it didn't work out. So, he instead of just wallowing in self-pity, he changed directions and put as much energy into those new directions as he had in his prior goals, and eventually things work out. So yeah, he's a great example of someone to follow in the footsteps of.
No, it's definitely true. And thanks for your time, Caleb, and everything that you've done. It was awesome. I watched a few of the Titan Games episodes. It was kind of cool to see, you know, someone from Utah State repping the Titan Games. So it was a great experience.
Heck yeah, man. It really was. Really cool. And appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys. And if I can ever help out in any way, let me know. I'm always for, serving those who have served me. And Utah State definitely built me into the man I am and helped raise me, as it were. And grateful to be able to give back to the community any way I can. So thank you for the opportunity. And, go Aggies. Go Aggie Nation, you know?
All right. Yeah, thanks, Caleb. Appreciate it so much. Oh,